You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 23rd of June, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I'll just begin today's podcast once again by reminding listeners that we are listener-supported here at Radio Albion, and we do have monthly bills, and I've just had to purchase a new computer, and it would be gratefully received if any of you could afford it. If you could send us some cryptocurrency, we do have various cryptocurrency addresses for Monero, Ethereum, Bitcoin. If you wish to send anything else, then just drop by the chat room or send me an email and I'll get you a cryptocurrency address for that. And many thanks to those of you who do contribute to our Nationalist Radio project here. Well, today I'd like to take a look at a new report which has just come out, which confirms everything that we've been saying as nationalists for quite some time. I mean, this is regularly happening now, isn't it? That what we've been warning about is now being discovered to be true by the government. We pointed out the problems with young people being given the opposite sex's hormones, and that has now been banned in Britain. We pointed out that there was no such thing as institutional racism, and the government did a report and they discovered that there was no such thing as institutional racism. We've been pointing out for some time that it is the white working class of the country that is actually being discriminated against. It's white people that are being discriminated against. And now the government are saying white working class pupils have been failed by decades of neglect in England's education system. And this is a new report which came out yesterday, which has created all sorts of controversy. The Education Select Committee accused the government of a lack of targeted support for disadvantaged white pupils. And of course, this is because if they were to target support at whites, the left would just start screaming straight away that this was white supremacy, this was racializing the education system. And yet we have all sorts of programs and drives to help black and minority ethnic pupils. We have special grants that are given to them to get them to university. They get free tuition to help them with their exams into university. In some instances, we even see that the actual pass rate to get into university is lowered. We've seen that happen for women in sciences, where they've lowered the standards to get more women into science. And we have a similar thing going on with black and minority ethnics in order to get them into university. We're even seeing the topics that are being discussed at university are being changed to accommodate black and minority ethnics. We are seeing that it is no longer required for students to actually know how to read Latin or Greek before they actually study classics in Latin or Greek. We're being told that musicians should no longer be expected to have to read sheet music. All of this is aimed at being more inclusive, which is basically the terminology for encouraging more black and minority ethnics into university, and not just encouraging them to go, but also modifying the standards so that they can go. And nothing is being aimed at the white pupils, and of course the white pupils, the white students, are the ones that are most likely to come out with new ideas and new innovations that are going to aid the country purely by the IQ that they have, which we will look at the end of this report. The report says the use of the term white privilege, suggesting white pupils are at an advantage, is the opposite of the reality for poor white pupils. And how do they think it makes these poor white pupils feel when they're being told they have white privilege, when they're being separated from their black friends, and they can hear all their black friends in the classroom next door whooping it up and having fun, and they're being given cakes and biscuits, and the white pupils are being told that they oppressed the world and they came out with slavery and they enslaved the black pupils, and that's why black pupils aren't doing so well. Some of you may think, well, that's a little bit extreme. Aren't you exaggerating there? Well, no, this was exactly what happened on a Channel 4 television program, which was explaining how this teaching is done in schools. They even have a privilege walk. Can you imagine that? If you're a poor white pupil, you're on free school meals, you live in a council house, your parents are on benefits, you can't afford anything, and you're being told that you have to go on this privilege walk and that you are responsible for the underachievement of the black and minority ethnic pupils. I would suggest that it is exactly this sort of thing that radicalizes these youngsters. That's the reason why they make these violent memes. That's the reason why they have these fantasies about blowing up their school. It's not because they have listened to ethno-nationalists like ourselves here at Radio Albion. It's because they've been radicalized by the persecution that they are given at schools, telling them they are privileged when they're not. And now the government is pointing this out, obviously in different terms of reference to the ones I'm using, but it is essentially the same thing that they are saying here. It is the opposite of the reality for these poor white pupils. They aren't going further than that. They aren't saying, well, how is this going to affect them? Could it be this that is radicalizing them? What they're saying is this needs to be addressed. But really, they should be looking at the link between that and radicalization, I would suggest. The government says it is committed to making sure no child is left behind. Well, let's see you put your money where your mouth is. I mean, I've looked at this report in various other news sources to this one. This one's actually coming from the BBC. But the other ones say that they're talking about how they're diverting so much money into the education system, but none of it is actually targeted specifically at white pupils. So they say they're committed to making sure no child is left behind. And that's essentially the same as this equality narrative, which is basically just targeting everything at non-whites. And by doing that, you are actually excluding whites. So their idea of we'll make sure no child is left behind by throwing all this money at the education system isn't good enough. It needs to be targeted. A certain amount needs to be put aside and said this is going to be targeted at white pupils. The report warns that white pupils on free school meals underachieve from early years in school right through to GCSE, A-levels and university entry, compared with pupils on free meals from other ethnic groups. And again, this really means that they are being discriminated against because it's the white pupils that have the highest IQ. They have the highest potential. They are the ones that are most likely that they should be overachieving in the class. It's not that they should just be getting average results, passing and not underachieving, that they should be overachieving. So the fact that they are underachieving so shows that there is something seriously wrong with the schooling system. Tory committee chairman Robert Halfon said, "For decades now, white working class pupils have been let down and neglected by an education system that condemns them to falling behind their peers every step of the way." And again, what about what we were talking about yesterday, where Prevent is getting involved in the history lessons and saying that history lessons need to be taught from to be inclusive, and they need to be creative, and they need to be talking about slavery, they need to be talking about how mean the white people were to go on the Crusades, they need to be taught about how Edward Colston needed to be pulled down because so much of Bristol was built with money from slaves and from these poor black people that had to work on farms in America. And again, all of this is going to make the white pupils feel terrible, isn't it? They're going to feel as if they are to blame at the same time as they can see that it's the black pupils that are being given all the special treatment and all the special help. It's going to be really damaging to them. It's no wonder that we have such a high rate of young people with mental health problems when what they can see happening is the opposite of what they're being told. They're being told all the time that black and minority ethnics are persecuted and discriminated against, yet what they actually see is the complete opposite of that. The Tory chairman also said it was a major social injustice that so little had been done to address this gap in attainment, and accused the government of muddled thinking in suggesting it could be explained by poverty. He says, if you think it's about poverty, then it doesn't explain why most other ethnic groups do much better. And that's because we have a lot of poverty in the black community, in the Bangladeshi community. We don't have it in the Chinese community. And yet they all seem to be able to get into university. It's just these white pupils that aren't. And it's a similar thing with crime. When you look at the poor white communities, there isn't a very high crime rate there. And yet when you look at the poor black communities, there will be a very high crime rate there. And they will say, well, that's because these blacks are being discriminated against and they don't have a job, so they are reduced to having to commit crime. Well, these white communities are very poor as well, but they don't go out and commit crime. The reason why the community is poor is not because of discrimination. It is because that all that crime happens there. Businesses aren't going to want to open up in places where there is crime, and the areas where you have poor white folks are usually areas that used to have industry, and that industry has now been taken over by China or India, such as the textile industry, or of course the coal mines were closed down. So you have these very, very poor communities that are there. And I mean, there may be very bright people in these communities, but they're just not getting the resources targeted at them. Poorer white pupils are falling behind every step of the way, he warned, and with almost a million young people being affected, it could not be swept under the carpet. Now, the fact he's saying it's falling behind every step of the way, it's interesting that the BBC only provides a couple of instances of this, because I would like to see the full report to see all these different discrepancies here, because this goes directly against the narrative that it's white people that are discriminating against blacks. It's white people that are discriminating against whites. And this is what he's pointing out here. When he says it's muddled thinking in the government that has caused this, it is muddled thinking. It's white people doing this to other whites. At GCSE in 2019, 18% of white British pupils on free school meals achieved grade 5 in English and maths, compared with 23% for the average for pupils on free school meals. And of course, the BBC are using this statistic because it doesn't really show that much of a discrepancy, does it? It's just 5% under the average. But of course, when you think that white people actually make up 85% of the population of Britain, it should be a lot more of them that actually achieve grade 5 in English and maths. They continue, for university entry, 16% of white British pupils on free school meals get places, compared with 59% of black Africans on free school meals, 59% of Bangladeshi pupils on free school meals, and 32% of black Caribbean pupils on free school meals. So just think about that. Four times as many black African pupils on free meals are now getting into university than whites. And that's the same for Bangladeshis. Twice as many black Caribbean pupils are getting into university from these poorer communities. I mean, that means that there must be four times as many resources, I would suggest, at least, that are being directed towards these black and minority ethnic pupils. I'd like to see some studies done about how many of them actually excel once they are there at school. Out of these this tiny group of white British pupils on free school meals, what are their exam results like? What are their diplomas like? What are their degrees like when we compare them to how the larger number of black pupils do in their degrees? And we can extrapolate basically from these drives that we see to actually change the courses themselves that the black pupils probably aren't doing so well at them. I can recall seeing some statistics that show that they drop out, that they find that it is too difficult for them to continue with at the university. And again, this shows that it's because they're not actually up to that standard, and they shouldn't be dropping the standards. If you drop the standards at university, it just means that the standards of the whole country are going to eventually drop down as the people that pass their exams then go out into the workforce. I mean, just from my own personal experience, people that were educated the decade before me are far more intelligent than I am, or far more educated than I am. I never went to university, and yet I can look at people today that are going to university and they know less than I was taught just at secondary school. The standards have been going down since about the 60s. I think probably the 60s was the high point in education in Britain. Mr. Halfon warned against using the term white privilege in education, saying it was divisive and likely to promote disharmony and pits one group against another. And it's not just that it's harmful to the whites to hear this, that they are in some way privileged. It also means that the black pupils blame the white pupils for these differences. It means that they bully the white pupils in some cases. And of course, we see these horrific crimes mainly that take place in America. And it's blacks saying, I was just so furious at the oppression of black people that I just had to go out and kill a white person. That there was one of these very angry black criminals that did this, and he was put into a prison with a white prison cellmate, and he killed the white prison cellmate. And it was all racially based, and it is down to this sort of thing being taught to them, I would suggest, telling them that the reason why they aren't doing so well in life is because white people are keeping them down. If they were just to say to them, well, you're not going to be expected to do that well in certain areas in life because you're a different race to white people. Things like running, fast running, you're going to be better at. Things like basketball, you're going to be better at. But as far as being a doctor or a lawyer or a supervisor or a manager, you're not going to do very well at that because that's traditionally not something that your people have been very good at. And you don't have the IQ for that. I mean, why don't they just tell them the truth? They are better at doing some things than white people. But white people are better than them at doing some things. Chinese are better at doing some things than white people. Jews are better at doing some things than white people. I know some nationalists don't like to hear that, but you know, you have to give them credit for some of the things they do in the media. They are good at things like that. They are good at business as well. Well, the committee described white privilege, which has been used in a wider social context, as the idea of societal privilege that benefits white people over other ethnic groups. And this is not what we see, is it? What we see is the other ethnic groups being given societal privileges that benefit them. We heard on Real Britannia this week about the BBC advertising an internship just for blacks and non-whites. We hear of the firemen offering jobs just to ethnic groups. We hear of the police offering up special days for black and minority ethnics to go along because they have these drives to get them into these jobs. That is societal privilege that is benefiting them. We also have the speech laws, which means that when people get upset about this, they have to self-censor, or they have to be very careful about the way that they can speak about these things. I mean, it's not like when somebody gets upset about this, they can just explain what it is that is going on, or how they feel, because what some things that they say may get taken out of context, and the law can be used against them. And when groups, white groups, try to get together and advocate for their own cause, the newspapers call them neo-Nazis and white supremacists, and make out that they hate other races, which is the opposite of the truth. If you're a nationalist, then you wish to see all different races prosper. And the way to prosper, of course, is to keep them separate. The committee said that in education, privilege is the very opposite to what disadvantaged white children experience, and questioned whether under equality legislation schools should use that terminology. Now, we did hear last year, I think it's Kemi Badenoch, I think that's her name, the black MP, the Conservative Party MP, and she said that this is against the law. Teaching this white privilege and white guilt, all of this is against the law. And of course, the schools will say, well, we don't actually teach this. We don't teach critical race theory. But everything that they do is now seen through the lens of this critical race theory. This is what Prevent were talking about. They were saying that history needs to be taught in this way. It needs to be inclusive. It needs to make excuses for why black people aren't doing so well as whites. It needs to make excuses for why they didn't come up with an equivalent civilization to white people. And whatever white people did needs to be played down. And so this is what is going on. They may not be specifically teaching about white privilege, using those two words, but that is the way that they want history to be taught now. This is the way that they want everything to be taught now. A Labour MP on the committee, Kim Johnson, rejected the reference to white privilege as a red herring, which was trying to stoke the culture war and avoid scrutiny of the lack of investment in schools and local communities. How is this trying to avoid scrutiny of the lack of investment? It is pointing out that white people have not been invested in, that the resources have all been directed towards these other groups in society. Now, I mentioned earlier that a lot to do with this is IQ. Now, if you look on Google, you can look up world IQ maps, and Google will tell you that the average IQ of Africa is 68, and the average IQ of an Englishman is 100. And of course, some people will think, well, that's in Africa, isn't it? It's not going to be the same in England. But IQ is inheritable. Studies comparing identical and fraternal twins find that about half of IQ can be explained by genetics. But what is odd is that genetics seem to become more predictive of IQ with age. That is, twins' genes seem to be less important for IQ when they are children compared with when they are adults. And the reason why isn't entirely understood. And what actually happens is that the older that you get, 80% of your IQ is inheritable. 80% of it. So if the average IQ in Africa is 68, the most it can get to by people living in Europe and with the change of environment is going to be about 78. The maximum it's going to be is 10%. And if we look at IQ itself and what those numbers actually mean, it says the average is 100. And of course, that's the Englishman's average IQ. But when you get to 85, that's described as below average. And when you get to under 70, that is described as intellectually disabled. So the average IQ in Africa is intellectually disabled. And then you've got people that are intellectually disabled that make their way across Europe, they make their way into Britain, and then they go into our schools, and then all our resources are put on these people that they don't actually have the ability to excel in life. All the resources are put on them trying to get their IQ up to, well, above intellectually disabled to just below average, while the pupils that have an IQ of 100 are neglected. I mean, if you wanted your country to exceed and to excel, what you would do is you would concentrate your resources on the people most likely to succeed, wouldn't you? And what we do is we concentrate all our resources on the people most likely not to succeed. And as a result of that, we can see that the IQ is now going down in developed countries as we import more and more people from the third world. And the IQ is going up in the developing countries. Of course, it's going up because there's more miscegenation. It's going up because they are making use of the medications that we've given them, and they've got better nutrition because we send aid over there. And in exchange for that, the IQ is going down in our countries, in the countries that are responsible for making these technological advances that have helped out the people in the developing countries. And of course, some people may say, well, IQ isn't everything. If you've got an IQ of 100, you may just be doing a job as a dustman. But these are just outliers. And I've got there's a TED Talk basically on this that I found. And this is a description for the TED Talk. As consultants in the area of online assessment, we work a lot with intelligence tests. We know that they are excellent predictors of job performance. However, when talking to clients, we are often faced with skepticism. Do they predict anything beyond first-year grades in university? Do they predict real-life outcomes such as job success? Apparently, Nathan Kunchel, a psychology professor at the University of Minnesota, was faced with the same questions. In a TED Talk, he takes us through a huge body of research on the predictive power of intelligence tests. Thus, the data of over 3,000 studies and over 600,000 individuals show that the tests predicted success at university, degree completion, and grades at various exams, but also faculty ratings, citation count, and research productivity. This is maybe not too surprising for even the skeptics. However, they also predicted other outcomes such as job performance, creativity, or career potential. The relationship between IQ test results and success is highest for performance on complex jobs and training success, but also considerable for performance on jobs of medium to low complexity, leadership performance, and creative performance. What might seem surprising is that IQ test scores also predict creativity and leadership performance. However, when looking a bit more closely, it all makes perfect sense. Creativity is not just about creating ideas, but also about interconnecting them and knowing which of them are best. For the latter, intelligence is needed. Similarly, leadership is not only about interacting with people, but also about setting goals and organizing work. Again, for this, a certain level of intelligence is required. Nathan Kunchel and his team also looked at whether there is a point beyond which test scores don't matter, and found that, on the contrary, the relationship becomes stronger at the extremes. IQ scores at age 13 were predictive of doctorates, scientific and literary publications, patents, and income. And this was the case even after controlling for social class. So what this means is that when you have these white working class children that come from these poor areas with their IQ, which is likely to be round about 100, they could do all of these things. They have the potential to go on to do all of these things. But when you look at the black pupils with their IQ test of 68, which is officially described as intellectually disabled, they're not going to be able to do any of these things, are they? And we are wasting all our resources on them to the detriment of the white pupils, and we're importing more of them into our country, we're just self-harming, basically. The country is self-harming. It's not going to be good for the blacks and the non-whites here either if the country goes downhill and less inventions are made and more mistakes are made. And the last thing you're going to want is somebody with a low IQ being put in charge of a team or being put in charge of a directorship or running a business, all these sorts of things that we see these drives at the moment to get black and minority ethnics into these important roles. It just means that they're not going to be able to do them, and they're going to feel bad because they're not going to be able to do them, and they're going to look for somebody to blame, and they will have been told that it's white people to blame, it's racism to blame. And it's not racism. Nobody is to blame. It's just the way things are. It's the way people were created. And if we would only just tell people that, then all these problems that we have around white privilege would just go away. Instead of the blacks feeling like they were victimized and wanting to get their own back, and instead of the white pupils feeling like they're being lied to and others are being given the resources that they should be given, and feeling bad about their ancestors, people would be able to go about their lives knowing what they were capable of and then trying to achieve it, and knowing that if they did achieve it, they achieved it all off their own back, instead of thinking, well, did I really get this job because I was good enough for it, or did I get this job because there was a diversity quota? I mean, we always used to have a meritocracy. May not have worked too well, there may have been a lot of nepotism, but everything was based on a meritocracy. But today it's no longer based on that, and what we do is we divert all our resources to those most unlikely to succeed, and we've taken away the resources from those most likely to succeed. And at least now we have the government starting to look into this, and at least now we have people coming forward and saying, in actual fact, it is whites that are being discriminated against, not black and minority ethnic. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.